Rochelle, thank you for sharing. And as a reminder that we would often be reminded to lift up Rochelle and her kids, her family. And maybe a phone call or maybe a visit or, you know, just some of those practical needs to be in touch with each other. And it is. I want to talk about courage this morning. Courage in the face of, you know, courage. You know, if all of our challenges, if all of our struggles, if all of the things that cause us to fear would just vanish, courage abundantly. Yes, I mean, you can't call it courage because courage is only courage if it's in the if in the face of challenge, in the face of fear, that you still face those fears and keep pressing on and not giving up. You know, like David did when he came back and all of his family and the whole city, Ziklag, had been taken captive, and his men are blaming him for it, and he's all by himself. And then in the face of that, he stands up. The scripture says he encouraged himself. He allowed the Holy Spirit to bring courage to himself to, in the face of that, not give up and keep. I wanted to show you just a visual of courage this morning. Dan, put... I don't see Kathy here this morning to affirm it, but that's Kathy. Oh, there you are back. I didn't see where you were. So you are here. You did survive. And of course, what you don't see is that her son is the real pilot sitting next to her. And I thought that this is, both Dan and Kathy have gone up in the plane with their son. And this is a picture of courage. To step off the face of the earth, and some of you are more adventurous than the others, I kind of likened Brandon to a picture of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to give you a different picture in a moment, but just the willingness to trust. And in the face of whatever that we're facing, that we're allowing the Holy Spirit to be our pilot, to be our guide. And what do you want to say?
White knuckle.
What's that?
I like the white knuckle.
The white knuckle?
She got her hand on the wheel, though.
She does. So that's my... if you want to call it just a pre-blessing, that may God bless each of you with courage. Courage to take the next step. I spoke of David, but I think of David facing Goliath. And it wasn't just David against Goliath. He had the armies on both sides and the king. And I mean, just I can't imagine that pressure of to perform, if you will, in the midst of what was at stake. I think of the courage of Esther to go in unannounced. Her whole life, the courage that she had to face her fears and just her resolve. If I perish, I perish, but I'm not going to perish running. I'm going to perish. If I'm going to perish, it's going to be facing what's before me. And this morning, I want us to look at the courage of Rebecca. And Lord, enable the words that you've put on my heart, the words that are in that we're going to read, to penetrate our hearts and give us courage, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. And my prayer for you is out of Ephesians 3:20. I want to read that again this morning. We read that last week, but and just say, in fact, read this scripture, this word, and read it to yourself. Read it into your spirit this morning. Never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all this. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream. Are you reading with me? And exceed your wildest imagination. He will outdo them all, for His miraculous power constantly energizes you. I've told several Smith Wigglesworth stories over the year. I heard one recently that tops them all. Well, at least it's up there. About the time that he was at a train stop where the Lord told him to spit on the tongue of a man next to him. So I'll come back to the rest of that story a little bit later, Lord willing. First, I want to read out of Genesis chapter 24. And bear with me as I read through this text, because were a few of you that read through this last week? A few? Abraham was now a very old man, and the Lord had blessed him in every way. And one day, Abraham said to his oldest servant, the man in charge of his household, "Take an oath by putting your hand under my thigh. Swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and earth, that you will not allow my son to marry one of these local Canaanite women. Go instead to my homeland, to my relatives, and find a wife there for my son Isaac." The servant asked, "But what if I can't find a young woman who is willing to travel so far from home? Should I then take Isaac there to live among your relatives in the land you came from?" "No," Abraham responded. "Be careful never to take my son there. For the Lord, the God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and my native land, solemnly promised to give this land to my descendants. He will send his angel ahead of you, and he will see to it that you find a wife there for my son. If she is unwilling to come back with you, then you are free from the oath of mine, but under no circumstances are you to take my son there." So the servant took an oath by putting his hand under the thigh of his master and Abraham and swore to follow Abraham's instructions. Then he loaded 10 of Abraham's camels with all kinds of expensive gifts from his master and traveled to northwest Mesopotamia, basically southern, what is now southern Turkey. There he went to the town where Abraham's brother Nahor had settled. He made the camels kneel beside a well just outside of the town. It was evening and the women were coming out to draw water. Got the picture? The women were coming out to draw water. "O Lord," the servant prayed, "God of my master, Abraham, please give me success today and show unfailing love to my master, Abraham. See, I am standing here beside this spring, and the young women of the town are coming out to draw water. This is my request. I will ask one of them, please give me a drink from your jug. If she says, 'Yes, have a drink, and I will water all 10 of your camels too,' let her be the one you have selected as Isaac's wife. This is how I will know that you have shown unfailing love to my master." Before he had finished praying in his heart, he saw a young woman named Rebecca coming out with her water jug on her shoulder, and she was the daughter of Bethuel, who was the son of Abraham's brother Nahor and his wife Milcah, in other words, the granddaughter of Abraham's brother. Rebecca was beautiful, old enough to be married, but she was still a virgin. She went down to the spring, filled her jug, came up again. Running over to her, the servant said, "Please give me a little drink of water from your jug." "Yes, my lord," she answered. "Have a drink." And she quickly lowered a jug from her shoulder and gave him a drink. And when she had given him a drink, she said, "I'll draw water for your camels too, until they have had enough to drink." So she quickly emptied her jug, to the watering trough and ran back to the well to draw water for all his camels. I wonder how many trips she made. You can do the math. 10 camels and at a minimum 10 to 15 gallons each. Anyhow, 150 gallons. The servant watched her in silence, wondering whether or not the Lord had given him success in his mission. And then at last, when the camels had finished drinking, he took out a gold ring, for her nose, two gold bracelets for her wrists, and asked whose daughter. And she tells them who her family is, and they come. And I'll just skip right to the last verse I want to read. The young woman ran home to tell her family everything that had happened. And her brother Laban came out to meet the servant at the spring. And he says, come and stay with us. You are blessed by the Lord. Why are you still standing here outside the town when I have a room ready for you and a place prepared for the camels? So the servant goes to the family, tells the details of the purpose of his visit and Abraham's desire to find a wife for his son Isaac. And they agree that they're going to give Rebekah to him and invite him to stay the night. They want him to stay another 10 days or so, but the servant says, don't delay me. Let's ask Rebekah. And Rebekah says this. She says, are you willing to go with this man? And she says, yes, I will go. Last night, she's giving the servant the water to feed the camels. And the next morning, she's heading off with him to a far land to be the wife of Isaac. And so they say goodbye to Rebekah, sent her away. And they gave her this blessing as she parted. Our sister, may you become the mother of many, many millions. May your descendants be strong and conquer the cities of their enemies. Rebekah and her servants mounted the camels and followed the man. So Abraham's servant took Rebekah and went on her way. And so the story of Rebekah's courage begins with Abraham requesting his faithful servant to find a wife for his son. You shall go to my country and to my family and take a bride for my son Isaac. I'm wondering, do you see anything in this that could reflect the presence of the Trinity as well as the church? You know, I submit that there's not only the visual of the Trinity, but a very clear how-to, a practicum, if you will, on how to listen and follow Holy Spirit. Could it be that I see Abraham as a picture of God the Father? That's pretty easy to see. I also see the trusted servant as a picture of Holy Spirit on a mission to get a bride for, and of course, Isaac would be the picture of the son, the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, and Rebekah representing believers, that is, you and me, the church, chosen to become the bride of Christ. So I just think that this is a great Old Testament picture of the plan of restoration, the plan of redemption, and yet a very relevant, like I said, a how-to in terms of just being responsive to and led by Holy Spirit. I just every time I read this story, I just think of Rebecca, you know, and where she is, and then all of a sudden, the next day, she's just willing to go off and follow the servant and go to some place, you know, foreign land, and marry a man that she's never met. I just think that is, that to say that she has courage is an understatement of the greatest magnitude, that she would risk stepping out in faith, willing to leave, you know, total, complete security, instead willing to be obedient and follow the leading, the servant's leading. And of course, is that not exactly what our call is? That our call would be that we would be willing to be obedient and follow Holy Spirit's leading. I mean, isn't that our daily calling? Yes? So I want to hold up, not only, I want to hold up, of course, Rebecca's example, great example of courage in the face of doubts. And it's a long journey. I wonder how many times she is thinking, what am I doing and what have I done? And yet she continues to follow. We don't have any of that in the text. But I also want to hold up the servant's model. And the example that he is to be faithful, the Holy Spirit, to be faithful to do the Father's will. There's such a picture that is exactly what is needed. That is the Holy Spirit that has been given to us, enabling us to do the Father's will. So if there is any hope for success, and it's every one of us, we have our will. Our will is, you know, we know what we want and we want it right now, you know, usually. And yet we know that there's the Father's will. And if we're, you know, when it comes, push comes, we want, do we not want to do the Father's will? Even when it's like, I'd really rather, my will is kind of, there's a tug of war sometimes, but when we process through, God, I want to do your will. I want, and a lot of times our prayer is, Lord, show me what your will is. Help me to know what your will is. And the Holy Spirit, you know, when the Holy Spirit is described in the New Testament, you know, as our comforter, our counselor, our encourager, I mean, just the list goes on, our intercessor, our advocate, but he is our helper. He is the one that enables us, helps us to do the Father's will. And so we look at Galatians, where it says, you know, Galatians 5:25, if the Spirit is our source of life, we must allow the Holy Spirit to direct every aspect of our life. And that's, you know, just we may not have a task to go to a far country and find a wife I'll just leave it at the task that this servant was given to go find a wife. What a huge task. And sometimes just the simple things that we're asked to do, just to be a neighbor, just to be willing to respond to a need. You know, sometimes that seems monumental. It's like how do I genuinely meet the needs of those around me? And yet it's, you know, I find myself just praying, Lord, help me more than even though I've been married so many years, I'm still praying. Karen, you can take comfort in this. I'm still praying on, Lord, help me to be a husband. Help me help me to be a grandfather. Lord, give me success. I need success. So many times we feel like we're just failing or falling short. I prayed for success this last week, that my ability to teach my number two granddaughter to drive, and she passed her test. It's like, I'm not sure that I really want her to pass her test, but I was praying, Lord, give me success. But those are, you know, it's just in all the issues of life. I just think that is, those are the kind of prayers we need to be praying. Lord, give me success. Help me to see genuine needs and help me be sensitive to the needs of people around me. Lord, let me be sensitive to your voice so that I will follow your lead.
Hey, Dave, when I read this chapter this week, one of the things that stuck out to me was in verse 61, in the Amplified Bible, it says, "Then Rebecca and her attendants stood, and they mounted camels and followed the man. So the servant took Rebecca and went on his way." And there's an asterisk before the word stood. So I looked at in a footnote it says the Hebrew word to stand or arise there, like Rebecca and her servants did, is often used as an instruction to prepare to fulfill a command, somewhat similar to the military command, attention. And I felt like God was saying, so you do that, and whatever that means, by faith, stand. Be ready, be attentive, prepare, whatever. And then when you described Abraham, Isaac, the servant, and Rebecca as a picture of Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and the church, I thought, I feel like that's kind of almost like a prophetic word, like that God is saying that to us individually. Like, what is the Holy Spirit doing in our life? Make yourself available, attentive, responsive, and stand like Rebecca and her sisters. Be ready to fulfill that divine command in our lives. And then also to the church.
Yeah.
It's time for us to stand at attention and have courage to fulfill whatever our calling is.
So having done all to stand, stand. And so I think that's a great segue into the two things. I just want to speak two things in response to our standing. I mean, because that's really right. That as a church, as a believer, that our standing would involve declaring our need. I mean, that's really what, you know, we call it prayer. But that we would acknowledge, just like the servant did. You see, the servant is both a picture of the Holy Spirit, but he's also a picture of how we respond to the Holy Spirit in our leading, and the fact that he would, and he does, he intercedes for us, but we team with him. We don't just sit back and wait for it to happen. So our prayers are, we agree, Father, give me success. Father, this is my need. This is what's going on. And indicating, I need help. I cannot tell you how much, in these last few years, how much more I've realized how desperate I am for the Holy Spirit to help. Come, Holy Spirit. Fill me, Holy Spirit. Enable me, Holy Spirit. Rebuke me, Holy Spirit. Teach me, you know, just those, the cry of, as I'm, I, I, I've stopped running as much these days, and so my walking is probably contributed to that as well. That I'm constantly asking. I just feel like it's not just an acknowledgement I need help, but then it's an asking. And so just here are the word of the Lord that is imploring us to ask for help, ask for success, ask for insight, ask for courage, ask for encouragement, ask to be delivered from fear. Just ask and ask, and even asking for stuff that you, just anything, not just things that, I mean, I'm not even going to tell you some of the things I'm asking for. But I figure, like the scripture says, ask. The worst God can say is no. Mm-hmm. But that nudge in my heart to just ask, just keep on asking, and allow the Holy Spirit to lead even in our asking. And then also, and perhaps even more importantly, ears to hear. If I'm asking for leading, then Lord, give me ears to hear what the Spirit is saying, not just to the church, to me, to each one of us, that we would hear the voice of the Lord. Is the voice of the Lord silent these days? I truly believe that the voice of the Lord is I won't say louder, maybe even softer. I don't think volume is really the issue. The issue is tuning in, and it's like, okay, Lord, I'm on my way to do this. Can we just kind of multitask here? I can't tell you how many times I get rebuked for that. But just the stopping and the listening, and the picture as the servant is at the well, watching. Is this the one? Is this the one? God, give us ears to hear and a tenacity to press in, and not just kind of like flippantly, well, if you've got something to say, say it. But a pressing in, Lord, I need to hear what you're saying in this situation. Let me just wrap up. Do you want me to tell you the rest of the story of Smith?
Yeah.
Wish I could say it without having to read it here. One day at a train stop, the Lord told Smith to tell the young man next to him to stick out his tongue. The Lord told him to spit on the man's tongue. He did it. Years later, and that's the way that the story kind of ends. Years later, at one of at least that segment of the story, at one of his services, Smith Wigglesworth's services, young man came up and asked if he recognized him, and Smith said, no. And the young man said, I was the one who you told at the train stop to stick out my tongue and you spit on it. No. I was tongue-tied and stuttered, and I had told the Lord I can't go into the ministry unless you heal me. When you spit on my tongue, I was healed, and I am now in the ministry. You know, just a couple of quick things. I don't think we need to worry about having courage to do something that is eccentric, but that we would just be willing to be courageous to respond to the leading of the Holy Spirit wherever we are and wherever we're going. Just Lord, give me, as I said earlier, just give me the ability to just reach out to the gentle nudge. I know It would take, if God told me to do something like that, it would take more than a nudge. I'm telling you right now. It would take, it would, lightning, something like that. But at the same time, how paralyzed sometimes I am, or afraid just to simply reach out and say, can I pray for you? Or can I, can we have coffee together? Or, and it's not just, we're not just talking about strangers or people we don't know, just, you know, the need for, if there's a need that we're facing today as a body of believers, is just connectivity. There's been such a challenge against just trying to isolate and just responding. Just when people come to mind, at the very least, say a prayer. At the very least. But maybe it's more than that, where the Lord is saying, you know, give them a call or reach out. And so, Lord, give us faith, courage to take you at your word in the face, even when in the face of discouragement, oh God, would you stir something up in the heart of your people? Stir something up to rise, to stand, to take a stand. And if that stand is all we can do is crying out to you, that's where it would start, crying out to you and then responding to your voice, oh Lord. God, I pray that you would pour out a spirit of courage, of encouragement to your people, Lord, and that there would be a standing against discouragement and disconnection and doubting and fear. Lord, we're no longer a slave to fear. We are your children, called by your name. And you give us, you give the word, and you still split the seas, Lord. You still penetrate the darkness. You still answer our cries. Lord, let your peace come in the midst of anxiety. Lord, let your peace come in the midst of fear. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So stand, why don't you? And I encourage you to just say, I've said this several times in these last few months, but that just daily, if the only prayer you pray is, come Holy Spirit, and then just watch, just don't just stand out of the way, stand in the way. Stand in the way and wait for him to answer. Pray that, come Holy Spirit, lead my life today. And I want to speak this blessing on each of you. First of all, may God bless you. Each one of you, may he bless you with the courage of Rebecca. With the courage of Rebecca to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. That he would give you that visual. That he would bless you with the courage to risk stepping out on faith. I'm not asking you to spit on anybody's tongue. But that you would have the courage to step out in faith in the face of doubt or fear. And then that God would give you courage that displaces discouragement. In Jesus' name. Amen. And I would also say that if you just feel like you would want, I know Rochelle spoke out, but if you wanted to come and just receive prayer for discouragement or being filled with the Holy Spirit, whatever, there are people that would like to pray for you.